Wednesday night study on the scriptures. Again, tonight's probably going to be just a summary of material that we've had this quarter. Pray that it's been powerful to you. That when you look at what we've studied and how individuals use the scriptures in the Bible, as far as proving that Jesus was the Christ and the reference they made to those scriptures, the number of times that the writers of the New Testament quoted scriptures and referred to the prophets, both what we call the major prophets and the minor prophets, even the law of Moses from the book of Job, that they used those scriptures for one purpose, and that was to prove that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. If you have any thoughts, again, just kind of don't know whether we've got enough material to get all of this, but I've put down a summary of things that rightly interpreted the scriptures, that once we've looked, we've established what the scriptures are, how they came about, the inspiration of them. I've decided to look tonight at rightly interpreting the scriptures. When we look at this, as far as if you want to look, say, of establishing authority of what we do, that those scriptures have to be interpreted right. Again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Lists a number of reasons there what these scriptures, the purpose of them, they're for probability, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. They should be able that when we do wrong, that they'll correct us in that wrong that we do, to show us the right path and how to do what pleases God. When you look in the world today, there's so much confusion over God's Word and what it means. And it seems that the whole world agrees that the Bible cannot be understood. If you've had an opportunity to talk to individuals out in the world, most of the time when you will hear quoted, well, that's just your opinion. You see it one way, I see another. And again, God did not reveal to us scriptures of confusion, but that we could understand, much like we sit and talk to one another. I sit here and talk to you that you can understand what I'm saying. And when you look at that, if you can understand what I'm saying, the words I use, and the meaning of them, the purpose of them, God has given us that in the Scripture. Okay? But they say the Bible cannot be understood, but it's left up to each individual, their interpretation of what it means to them. And so they make application of it. Well, here's what it means to me. Here's how I see it. Instead of giving over to what the writers and what how they wrote those scriptures. What did it mean, what they said? And that's what we fail to understand. That's how we need to look at it. I need to understand what they wrote and not what I think what I think they wrote. And so that involves, if you will, a lot of study. Interpreting means to act, means the act of explaining or the way something is understood. So when I'm interpreting the scriptures, I need to understand how I'm to understand those scriptures. When you look at the Supreme Court justices, they differ in opinion of how to interpret a certain law. Each one of them has their opinion. Well, here's how I interpret that. And it's more or less how individuals today interpret the Bible. Here's how I understand that. And if that's how you do, then you will have different interpretations. Again, it's not how I understand it, it's how God meant it that I need to understand. And that does away with my interpretation of the Scriptures. There must be rules to follow that allow the correct interpretation of a matter. Again, one rule for interpreting the Scriptures is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says there, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if I ask you what comes to your mind when Paul there says that you, Lowell, need to rightly divide the word of truth, Greg, you need to rightly divide, what comes to your mind from Paul's thought? Anyone?
About Well, I'll tell you what I can't figure out. You know, the Bible reads the same thing to you as it does me, and how these other guys interpret in other different ways. I can't figure that out.
But the rightly divide, what's your thoughts?
It's already been divided. We get to divide correctly.
All right.
Keeping it in context.
All right.
If we're rightly divided, we'll have unity. We'll see if we get
all things. All right. When we talk about Bernice keeping it in context, give some thoughts to it. That you keep the scripture in context. When you remember that when questions was asked Jesus, he referred to in a certain situation that he was in, whatever. He may have said the scriptures say. And what he was quoting from the scriptures was in particular instance to what he was asked or the situation that he was in. He would quote a scripture that applied only to that situation. So the idea that you keep it in context, that Jesus would answer that question by scriptures according to the question that was asked. That, I think, as to what you say is context. You keep it within that.
Yeah, and too, I can't give you the scripture that I'm referring to, but anyway, the guy that came to Jesus and asked him what he must do to be saved, and he told him to keep the commandments. That won't work for us today. That's out of context. Huh? That was before Christ was resurrected from the dead, so the law of Moses was still in effect. So he gave them the law of Moses. So that won't apply to us today.
So it's a good point. So we need to understand when it's dealing with the Old Testament, when it's dealing with the New Testament. And again, that's a big error that denominations make today in order to prove a certain aspect of their worship. For one, mechanical instruments of music, they go to where? Well, they don't go to the New Testament for their authority, but they go to where? Yeah. Huh?
They go to David.
Huh? They go to David. But even with that, John, they take what David did out of context. Okay? So it's just, you know, when you rightly divide, do you have something
to add? I was just going to say, it's just common sense, if you rightly divide, that makes the Bible into divisions. And you have to distinguish about what division you're talking about when it comes to Old Testament, New Testament, the subject matter that's concerned during that time.
That's a good point. Again, that's the thought of rightly divide, to establish truth. There's certain rules to be followed. One of them that you rightly divide. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2 says you're not to add to or take from that which is written. So in other words, I'm to quote something, I'm to speak something exactly as the writers wrote it. Without adding, we'll look at kind of a verse here in a minute. I've heard it on YouTube when you get to, you can pull up these people that preaches what they preach and take scripture and take them completely out of context. It's really comical, but in a way it's sad. But again, another rule that you do not add or take from that which is written. Another rule is that Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 that we're to speak only as the oracles of God, not man. And when you try to add what man's thought is the oracles of God, you're not going to come up with truth. There's many more which God has set guidelines of how the scriptures are to be interpreted. The word method simply means a way or a path of transit. A method in Bible study is concerned with the proper path to be taken in order to arrive at scriptural truth. That's what a method is. And when you're studying the Bible, you need to develop a method that will produce the end result, and that is scriptural truth. And it will incorporate all that we've talked about so far. There's many more, okay? We've dealt with word meanings, okay? Of the different aspects of word meanings. There's so much incorporated in that. But it's a proper path to be taken in order to arrive at scriptural truth. Jeremiah states in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in, implying they were not at that time following that path that God had directed them to follow. But it also implies that we can completely follow that, because he says return to that path. So we understand that this word can be understood. and that we can follow it correctly if we follow the guidelines on how to study the Bible. But it also implies that there's an improper path. And so there's certain things that we are to avoid in trying to understand what truth is in each one of us' life. But the same guidelines applies to all of us as far as when it comes to truth. Proper methods is essential in many fields. When you look at a heart surgeon, that they have certain guidelines as far as that surgery. They're just not a haphazard. They just go in there and do something. But guidelines have been established to have to perform open heart surgery. And how would you feel if the surgeon said, well, I'm just going to do what I think is best and cut you open? How safe would you feel with that individual? You'd say, no, no. But yet the very thing is done with studying God's Word. We just take it as a haphazard approach and just go here, and we go pick a verse here, and here, and then all of a sudden we put those verses together and we come up with false conclusions.
Also, CL people, it's bad to use part of one verse. I had a guy right here in Laurel County, and he was speaking of us, that he had asked one of the brethren. He said he won't give me an answer. And he used the verse to be able to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that in you. I'm like, okay, it didn't say we have to answer every question you ask. That is not what the verse is teaching. So he was asking something about our congregation, and whoever he asked wouldn't give him an answer. And that's the scripture that he used to show that this man was doing wrong.
And they take portions out of here.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that's how people misuse just the verse.
So, you know, especially for their benefit, okay? And again, that happens a lot. An improper method of interpreting the Scriptures is nothing new. Even in New Testament time, Peter warned in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16 about the inspired writings of Paul when Paul said, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or distort, as they do also other scriptures into the destruction. And so we see a danger here of misapplying how we are studying a scripture. It could lead it to our destruction. It's a serious thing that we need to understand, that we need to have the right attitude and the right guidelines by which I'm going to understand what God's Word says. And this verse tells us that mishandling of the scriptures can be dangerous. It is the path to destruction. There were false teachers at Corinth. Paul states in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. And that's the same words that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, to handle the truth correctly. He said there was those who was not handling it. They were handling the word of truth in craftiness. And that's a false teacher. They try to take an application of a scripture, take it out of context to deceive you, trying to make you believe that it's saying what it don't say. And so the purpose, one of the purposes why we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'll never be able to detect a false teacher if you do not know the scriptures. It's just that simple.
This girl put on Facebook last night, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, talking about we're a royal priesthood, a chosen people, and that proved that God has already chosen who is going to be His. Now, that was her conclusion for that he has chosen who is His already. So I'm thinking, let me get my book down after a while. I have started putting things back to people who are my friends on Facebook, because I mean, some of the things are ridiculous. So I like, but you give scripture and they kind of don't say nothing.
But in that should prompt your study of it, that you determine what is a correct meaning of that. And I say no. We think they're silly or crazy questions, but if it's something that prompts you to study, it's for your benefit.
Yes.
Okay? And that's the reason we deal when people talk about that. Well, I don't think that's the meaning of it. Well, what is the meaning of it? Well, it's for us to want to study and find out what says the scriptures on that.
I believe a man ought to study some scripture every day.
I'll agree with you, Nathan. When God created Adam in his image, he created him as a rational being, able to make choices and correct decisions. He created him in a manner he could communicate with his creator in a way that was rational or reasonable or logical communication. And that's how you and I should talk, in a reasonable, logical way of communication, that we can talk to one another. But you have denominations today, the tongue speaking, that no idea what they're saying. But that's not how the scripture is wrote. It's a logical wording for man that was moved by the Holy Spirit. Words that we understand. And that's how we are to speak, those oracles. And it's not in some gibberish form.
I was asked a question the other day if we spoke in tongues here. I said, no, we don't. We've never spoken in no tongues here.
Other than America.
I said, we do everything in decency and in order.
That communication with his creator was to take, again, the manner and the form of speaking. He gave Adam the gift of intelligence that he could communicate with his creator and other individuals by speaking words. And that's how we teach today, in the speaking and the reading of those words. But again, it's done in a rational, logical, and reasonable way. Point of this being, if God chose language by which we communicate with him and one another, then it must be followed. He would use language and expect man to use such in its literal, normal, and plain sense. Or he wouldn't give it to us. That's how he chose that when we go to God in prayer, we speak a logical, intelligent prayer to him.
Ones that could understand each other all went one direction.
Yeah.
So that they understood each other.
Right.
But their languages had become different.
Ben Francis went to a funeral the other day, and they woman got up and preached. Well, this man got up and sung a little bit, and then this woman got up and preached a funeral. Never hear a culinary scripture through them.
You don't, Nathan, much anymore. And sadly, it's getting to be there's so much storytelling even in the assemblies of the Church of Christ. It's a shame.
Well, they tell me that a lot of Church of Christ has now got song leaders, women song leaders.
It's coming. The Church of Christ is like dominated. They're trying to deal with numbers and the offering more than the preaching of the truth. I mean, it always makes Dad so mad when you hear preachers say, why don't we just get up there and preach the word? And that was the exact command of Paul to Timothy, preach the word. That's what he said. And I'm not against examples. I understand that. But we go to way far extreme anymore in trying to get upon it, almost if we're putting on a show instead of preaching the word from our convictions.
Well, Paul said, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. He said, the time's going to come when they will not endure salvation doctrine, but heap to themselves each year's.
Yep.
And they believe a lie and be condemned. And that's happening.
With that God has given us this language, it's been written for us in Scripture, we do not need to impose our meaning on the text in the Bible, but seek, again, as I mentioned, to find the writer's intended meaning. Why did the writer wrote a particular scripture, or scriptures? And this will be the only true meaning that we need to arrive at. This cannot be altered by the reading of it and make it mean what I want or you want. That's what study is, to get the true meaning of a writer. No verse of Scripture can be separated from the verses around it. That's what Bernice dealt with. That's context. You do not take one verse from a paragraph and separate it from all the others. If you do, then you've taken that Scripture out of context. And so we need to leave it where the writer placed it, what the writer intended for us to understand and learn from that, and make the right application. Context of the Scripture is very important. Every word, verse, book is part of the Scriptures. And again, no verse can be separated from the verses around it. You cannot interpret a verse from its context. Context is critical for the understanding of the Bible. A particular scripture cannot contradict the total teaching of the scripture on a certain point. Say, like the belief. You cannot say, all you have to do is believe. Well, you cannot accept that verse without it harmonizing with every other verse. And that's what people do. Then you say, well, what about repentance? Oh, yeah, well, repentance goes with that. But they want to take a certain verse. Here's all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
They call you to come up to the bench and pray. In John 9, I believe it's verse 9, it says, a sinner's prayer is never answered.
One scripture is not isolated from the whole. You can't take one scripture out from the rest of the Bible. It's got to fit, as we talked about earlier in our study, as a puzzle fits. If you do, then you never will arrive at me. That's the beginning of our understanding that. Scripture I was wanting to look at, Proverbs chapter 16, as I was listening to this guy on this, talking about, and you kind of have to understand, the reason to me was kind of so comical. There were a couple of older individuals, both of them white haired, okay? Talking about that, and then they were talking about certain scriptures, but in Proverbs, one that they mentioned, they was mentioning all this, and this one guy said, well, you know, he said, my wife read to me a scripture. He said, let me share it with you. And it was Proverbs 16, verse 31. It said, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And his interpretation of it was, righteousness is found in the silver-haired man. Because he was silver-haired. All silver-haired men are righteous. Folks, look at the verse. That ain't even what it says. But I mean, and they just, you can hear the oohs and ahs, you know, of that. But that's how, as you talk about, they take a particular thing there. Well, what's it talking about? If you look at that verse.
Proverbs 20, verse 19, it talks about your gray hair being your glory.
Yeah. But again, it's the idea that when you see an older man, if you have hair to be an older man, but when you see a silver-haired man, what comes to mind when you see a man of old age?
Wisdom.
Experience. Is there ever a silver-haired man like that? No. And they say, you know, it's just referred to as a silver-haired, I think some words may read a hoary-haired man, H-O-A-R-Y, some words you may use. But it's the application, you know, the older age, the higher stuff, it's kind of beautiful or pretty or whatever you want to call it. And so it distinguishes him as someone who's gained something in life. But that's not always the case. But his was, righteousness can only be found when you got silver hair.
Well, does your daddy have any gray hair much?
If he did, he was well hidden and he didn't lie.
I sure never did see it.
So you can understand that, you know, when you go look at how people interpret scriptures and so on, it's what they can come up with. But he said his wife had found a version which read like that. And so that was the application to him of that verse.
What was that verse?
Proverbs 16, verse 31. As you read a particular passage, pay close attention to different types of words that make up the sentence. Is the subject in singular or plural? Is it talking about a certain individual, two individuals, a group of individuals? Is the verb past, present, or future? Has been, will be, going to be. If you don't do, did you make the wrong interpretation? When you look at Matthew chapter 24, it's often used today. You know, something or other things of Revelations. Then they make completely out of context about when it's referring to. Is a sentence a command, statement of fact, or a question? Who is the speaker? Why did he make the comment or the statement that he made? As we looked up Christ in our study, why did Christ answer a certain way? It had to do with what was being said or what he was asked. that he answered a certain individual or persons in a certain way? What ideals are compared? What are contrasted? Again, pay the attention to the words, for some have more than one meaning. And sometimes, or most of the time, the verse or the context will clarify the meaning. And if that fails, you can look up the same word in other passages that may help you understand what that word in that verse means. Again, that's study. God has made His Word very clear so we can all understand. Proverbs 8 and verse 9, God's Word states there, are all plain to him who understands. In other words, all God's Word is plain to those who understand what He's talking about. It becomes plain to us. And you think back from the time that maybe you were baptized, you were a baby in Christ, how much clearer this Word today has got to you than when you begin the Christian journey. You need to do better than that. You can think back from the last year. Have you grown? Has this Word got plainer to you? Did you listen? Did you study? And it should have. The Bible is made up of different divisions. And I'm not talking about the Old and the New Testament. Again, a lot of things we have to understand in looking of the aspects of the Scriptures. It's made up of history. If you want to learn about the history of the church, where do you go to? You wouldn't turn to Exodus. You wouldn't turn to Psalms. Even though prophecies are there concerning the church coming into existence. But if you want to learn how the church began, then you need to go to the book of history. And you need to keep that book in its proper context. It's the beginning of the church and how the gospel was spread. Drama. You want drama in the Bible? You go to the book of Job. Again, books, God has designed those books for a reason. It's for our growth. Poetry. The book of Psalms. If you want to look at wise sayings, where would you go? Learn about the silver-haired man. Go to Proverbs. Okay? Prophecies. If you want to look at prophecy in the past, you look at a major and a minor prophets. The book of Revelations is a book of prophecy that was to take place. And so, understanding what each book is. If you want to learn of parables, you read of those parables in the Gospels. Are there parables in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you turn to those books that deals with parables. And you should understand these things. Interpret the old in light of the new. Okay? You understand that? When you interpret the Old Testament, you have to do it within the light of the new. God's revelation to mankind was throughout the Old Testament. He did not give the entire revelation to Adam and Eve or to Moses. As time went on, centuries passed, God provided more and more revelation. Again, that we talked about this, the theme of all of the Old Testament was what? Christ coming into the world, okay? So we have to interpret the Old Testament in light of what the New Testament says about when He came. We cannot separate that. By the time the New Testament was complete, God had told us everything He wanted us to know. And again, the Old Testament should be interpreted as a dim light of a greater light that was to come. When you look at the writings of John 8, verse 12, Christ says, "I am the light of the world." But when you look at the Hebrew writer, he deals with a shadow of things that were to come. It was not the brightness, but a shadow. Not the real thing, but an outline that could be, the makeup of it, distinguishable, not as much as when the light came into the world. And so you have to interpret the Old Testament Scriptures with that of the light, or of the New Testament. The New Testament does not seek to correct the Old Testament. They're both truth. Both revealed and wrote the same way. That God spoke to His prophets. The Holy Spirit guided their writing, their speaking. But all the New Testament does, it brings the Old Testament to a fuller and a greater life that was one time dim. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, tells in Hebrews 10, verse 32, but recall the former days after you were illuminated or enlightened. Again, that's what the gospel does. It enlightens us, it illuminates us to who Christ is. Even though in a shadow, the Old Testament dealt with his coming on that.
Well, didn't Isaiah teach all about Jesus is coming before you ever, hundreds of years ago before Jesus was ever.
Even from the very first, Nathan, the first book of Genesis, that it was told. Even though the time, not only to God, of when he would come, as Paul deals with in the book of Galatians, the time of fullness had come, just like the day of judgment, it's known only to God, but it will come.
Well, had the Old Testament given to us for a schoolmaster?
Yes. And that's the reason the New Testament writers and those in the New Testament used it so much. It was a schoolmaster to them. That the average person can understand Scripture is evident in the fact that Jesus taught openly and with clarity and expected his followers to understand his meaning. John 18 and verse 20 as we close. Jesus said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. In secret, I have said nothing. Verse 21, he says, why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. Same thing today. We know what he said, and we arrive at the truth that he's teaching through study. Any thoughts? Good, thank you.